Our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program for Sunday, June 26th. We are still doing this remotely because of my bout with COVID, a very mild bout it was. And I want to thank everybody with the Macon County Health Department. And after taking a test in Cashers, they call you back and make sure you're feeling okay. So it's a wonderful service.
Yes, it is, Steve. And we're still tracking the spread of these variants with COVID. And I would say that our emergency department in Macon County, under the leadership of Warren Cave, and also our public health department, under the leadership of Kathy Magaha, they're all tracking the situation with the spread of COVID. I get a periodic report on the number of cases that the county has been able to identify. But, you know, we're creating a situation now where it's in some ways hard to give an accurate number because of the home test. If someone goes to an official testing center like we've had here in Highlands and Cashers, then if it's a positive result, it's reported to the proper officials and health department. Many people now are just simply self-diagnosing through using these home tests. If that's the way somebody discovers they have COVID, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is officially reported. And that makes kind of for a different dynamic on trying to determine exactly how many cases we have in a particular area.
Second that. Now, the DOT, they explained what happened with our Gorge Road. It was more extensive than we thought.
Our town manager and our public works director, Lamar Nix, we try to maintain good communications and working relationships with DOT because what they do certainly impacts how we function here in the Highlands area. The basic information is that they did a successful repair of the Gorge Road, the side of the road that was beginning to degrade and fall apart. They had to do a little bit more work, put in more supports than they originally anticipated, but they were able to get everything done and the Gorge Road is back up and running. So we really appreciate their work and their diligence in making sure that that road is secure. Folks are concerned about are the crosswalks in town. There's always room for improvement on our town roads. We need to be kind of reviewing how we have painted crosswalks and how we can coordinate with the DOT and making sure that we have the best possible outcome. One of the things that people might not realize is that we do not really control the painting of the crosswalks in the downtown area where we have state roads. For example, Main Street is U.S. 64, and then when you turn on 4th, it is U.S. 64, and then going out, it becomes North Carolina 28. We have 106 coming up from Dillard, and all of those roads, the painting and the crosswalk is determined by North Carolina DOT. We have a crosswalk right next to Town Hall and Oak, and they're going to upgrade that by creating diagonal hash marks going all the way across the crosswalk. The intent is to make motorists more aware that that is a pedestrian walkway. Lamar Nix and his road crew will be filing a report with the town board very soon to where we will take action to improve the painting and identification of those crosswalks. One of the things we're considering is hiring a company that can put down this vinyl paint. So we'll be looking at the possibility of bringing in a contractor to do that work. And of course, we'd have to make budget amendments to get all of this completed.
And the town is also talking about strips of road that the DOT is responsible for, but the town may take responsibility for that, discuss that, and also we're once again doing a study about Upper Road for Big Bear Pen. Maybe we can clear that up for heavy rains.
We've had a kind of a paving project over the last several years in the town where we have been paving unpaved roads. One of the primary reasons for doing that is to mitigate wash-off. We have done things like paving Lower Lake. We repaved Colasadia, for example. In the past, what will happen is the state will come in and pave the road as is. We agreed to take it over, and then we'll maintain it and keep it paved. For example, the original paving of Colasadia, which was well over a decade ago, the state paved that road, which was in their possession at the time, put down a basic chip and seal surface, which lasted for many years, and then when it had to be repaved just a few years ago, we came in and used town funds to put an asphalt coating over that chip and seal surface. Under that formula, they will pave the road as is without getting involved in right-of-way acquisition, and then we just simply continue to maintain that road as it is without getting into right-of-way acquisition. One other road that I'd like to see done, and that is if you go from Upper Lake Road toward the end, it becomes a little small dirt road, and then it connects to Bowery. It's a long story on why that little strip is a state road, but it is, so we can't pave it. If we could have worked with the state to have an agreement for them to put down a basic top coat on the road as is, then we would take it over and continue to keep it paved and maintained. And it just makes sense to me, and I think the board would agree, to go ahead and have that small section of that road paved and maintained so it ties into the existing portion of Upper Lake, which is a town road. The other one is the part of Bear Pen from Upper Lake Road all the way down to Chestnut. That has been a problem for many years with heavy rains washing silt all the way down into the Chestnut Street area, washing down into the ditches, and also sometimes washing over the road and into people's property. The state has agreed to pave the Bear Pen from Upper Lake all the way down to Chestnut. They've been working with property owners to get the right-of-way, which is now complete. They've been doing surveys, road design. They've had to do environmental impact studies, which now have come to completion. And they will have to work with the town in the coming months for us to relocate some critical utility poles. And they will then come in and pave Bear Pen from Upper Lake down to Chestnut. Right now, you have some trees that are growing in the right-of-way. You have some sharp, narrow curves, and they will address all those safety issues. I've had some residents on Bear Pen who live above it ask, well, what about paving the rest of Big Bear Pen? That is not planned at this point in time. If residents were willing to possibly give the right-of-way for the state, they certainly would consider continuing the paving beyond Upper Lake. We tend to pave a road based on the existing width, but the state has a different road paving standard, which they expect to meet if they're going to go back and resurface unpaved roads.
I know that you also were discussing and mentioned before we started taping that the Middle Creek Bridge project, that's replacing a bridge, that's going to be a big project, so that may take a while. And because DOT, with all the surveys, this is not going to happen overnight.
That bridge is that narrow bridge below Scaly, between Scaly and Dillard and the Georgia line. That bridge has been on the list for replacement for many, many years. If you drive by there now, you've noticed that some trees have been removed. It's a rather ambitious project. They're going to build a new bridge right next to the existing bridge, and then they will, of course, remove the old bridge. It won't disrupt traffic while they're doing the construction as much with this plan of building the new bridge right next to the old structure. It's kind of a comprehensive project where I think they will be improving site distance and access as you approach that bridge. So that project will be getting underway rather soon. They had some environmental impact studies they had to do with the U.S. Forest Service. There are also some environmental protocols that they have to follow. There's a critical bat species that lives in trees, and they can only cut trees down at certain times of the year to meet the concern about the bat habitat. And then they also have certain restrictions about disturbing creeks at certain times of the year due to the trout population.
I've been noticing travelers and motorists are following the speed signs, and how are the electric signs doing, or the solar ones?
You know, I think that they're being well received, and by and large, they're working well. You know, I run over near the school periodically, and we have, of course, one of the radar signs at the school. I was running the other day, and just within a particular zone, all of a sudden, I saw a number flash on the sign. It was 6, meaning I was running 6 miles an hour. So I'm really impressed with that particular sign. Some of the other signs that we have, we're making some adjustments. We have one over on 64 as you come up toward Little Bear Pen, that curve and that intersection, which if people are driving too fast, it creates a real hazard. That sign has not been working like we had hoped it would work. It is a solar-operated sign, and we're discovering that it just doesn't get enough sunlight during the day to continue working at night. So we'll be working on that sign. I think Lamar Nix and the police department are thinking that we just have to use a standard wiring system to make sure that it has power, not only during the day, but into the night. I've always said I'd rather see a radar sign reminding people to slow down than to get into some massive effort of trying to give people tickets because they're speeding.
July 4th and the shrimp boil, so let's bring on July.
Yes, indeed. That will be an exciting time of the year for Highlands. I know that the Chamber will, again, do a great job of putting on the fireworks. And then, of course, our Recreation Department and the Rotary Club will be having events during that weekend, and I hope everybody will take part and enjoy this wonderful celebration of freedom and liberty in the United States.
And on this day, of course, this is Sunday, June 26th, and just reminding everybody, on the 30th, there's going to be the meeting and the public hearing for the comprehensive plan.
At 6 p.m., and it will be at our Highlands Community Building. So I hope that we'll have a good turnout and good feedback. I think that we have created a wonderful comprehensive community plan. It was a document that came from feedback from the different organizations and citizens of Highlands on how they want to see our town develop in the future. It's not a set of rules and ordinances, but it's really kind of a document that's supposed to provide guidance on how we address issues that will come before us related to our growth and our development in years to come. I'm very excited about us approving this plan and all of us working together for the best interest of this community.